Welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast with Jacob Ayers, providing actionable content to help you along your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. As the premier asset class, real estate has helped ordinary people just like you amass fortunes. The benefits of passive income from real estate investing will allow you to live a life you want. And now, your host, entrepreneur, real estate investor, and apartment deal syndicator, Jacob Ayers.
Hi, and welcome to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast. You're listening to episode 81. Today, we're going to be discussing alternative investments through retirement accounts with our guest, Kirk Chisholm. Now, today's episode will be relevant to you whether or not you have a retirement account yourself, because chances are somebody you know does. And these folks who have retirement accounts are looking typically for alternative investments and ways to diversify their portfolio outside of Wall Street. Our guest, Kirk Chisholm, is a wealth manager and principal at Innovative Advisory Group. His roles at IAG are co-chair of the investment committee and head of Traditional Investment Risk Management Group. His background and areas of focus are portfolio management and investment analysis, both in traditional and alternative investment markets. Kirk has been providing wealth management services to individuals, executives, entrepreneurs, and their families, as well as businesses and organizations since 1999. Kirk is dedicated to developing lasting relationships with all of his clients. One of the benefits of working with Kirk is his patience and his ability to provide clear, easy-to-understand explanations of all financial options. Some of that you'll see in today's episode. Without further ado, let's jump into the episode. All right, today, welcome on the show, Kirk Chisholm. Kirk, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Jacob.
Hey, thank you, Kirk. Well, Kirk, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this industry?
Sure. So I am a wealth manager, Innovative Advisor Group. I've been doing this for about 18 years. And interestingly enough, I started in the traditional broker side at Payne Webber before they were acquired. Went on to a few other companies, still in the same space. And eventually in 2008, decided to start my own firm, where effectively the reason was multiple. There actually were multiple reasons, but one of the main reasons was, you know, we saw the financial crisis and we wanted to be able to invest outside the market. We've done a lot of research on traditional markets and, you know, we found that really if you want to diversify a portfolio, you have to get outside the markets because that's where you can find true diversification. So this show is about real estate. And one of the areas that we really love is real estate. And it's really hard to find good properties in traditional markets. So we were trying to do that and we weren't allowed. So we went out and started a firm where we could do that. So it's really been an interesting journey and we love what we do and we love being able to find good opportunities for clients and work with them on them.
Yeah, that's awesome, Kirk. Now, when you say outside the market, you mean outside of traditional Wall Street. Is that correct?
Yeah. So you could certainly buy a REIT, you know, in the stock market. You can buy real estate funds. You can buy a lot of different things in the stock market. But as your listeners will probably know, buying institutional real estate is not necessarily where you're going to find your best deals. You
right.
might find your best deals around the corner from you or in a different town. But one of the real benefits of real estate, and one of the reasons why we like it so much, is that it's an inefficient market. So the stock market, you can go buy a stock at any given time and maybe the buy and sell is a penny difference. You more or less have the price. You're not going to find necessarily a good deal all that easily because the best and the brightest investors in the world are investing in the stock market. So you have a lot of competition, which doesn't allow you to find great deals. Now, your local neighborhood, somebody's selling the house, you may have one or two buyers, or in hot parts of the country, you may have 10 or 20. But if you can find a deal that nobody else knows about, you might be able to get much better pricing. So one of the benefits of investing outside the market is the inefficiencies. Now, of course, that goes both ways. If you're buying a property, you get some great inefficiencies if you can find a deal that nobody knows about. Maybe the seller is not all that knowledgeable about the prices in the area and they're selling below what it should go for. Mm-hmm. That's an advantage for the buyer. The problem is on the seller, that could be a disadvantage. So if you're selling, let's say the market drops, the real estate market drops, you can't find buyers, you might have to sell for less than you want. So the inefficiencies work both ways. But if you're a savvy real estate investor, that's exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I guess it kind of goes to the flip side of the coin on that too, Kirk, is, you know, sometimes you've got buyer's markets and other times you've got seller's markets. So sometimes it's really easy to buy great deals and sometimes, you know, it's really hard to buy great deals, but really easy to sell them. So you've just got to take advantage of those markets, like you said, and, you know, almost arbitrage whether, you know, you're buying in a good market, a hot market, a low market, whatever it might be.
Yeah, real estate is like any other asset. And when it comes to investing, and one of the things that we really focus on is finding good value. Now, in the stock market, I think anybody can see that you're not finding a lot of good values out there. There are some, but they're hard to find because everything is expensive. In 2009, 2010, real estate was relatively cheap. Now it's gotten more expensive. If you can be patient and find the times when nobody wants to buy an asset, that's when you're going to get your best deals. Right now, we find it very hard to find good deals on any asset. I mean, most assets are expensive now because there's a lot of money out there chasing fewer deals, and it's hard to find. I mean, we work with a lot of real estate investors, and they're doing a lot fewer deals now than they were 10 years ago. And I think it just comes down to finding the right opportunities and making sure that you're making a good deal and not just investing because you have to.
Yeah, right. So Kirk, what are you and your team at Innovative Wealth doing to help people find alternate investments outside of Wall Street?
So we're very unique as a firm. I don't know of any other wealth management firm that's doing what we do because it's not scalable in the way that Wall Street likes things to be scalable. They want to be able to press a button and buy things, whereas what we do is not scalable in that way. So we have a lot of investors that come to us. They know we work with alternative investments. They know we work with self-directed IRAs with those alternatives. And we really have two types of people that find us. One is they know exactly what they want. They want to buy this piece of real estate or this gas station or commercial real estate or land or whatever it might be. And they want to do it in their retirement account. So they come to us for help with that. That's a very specific instance. It might be other assets. It could be a horse, could be private company stock, tax liens, whatever. I mean, there's a wide variety of stuff. But they know what they want, and we help them with that process. The other type of person that comes to us is somebody who is really fearful of the stock market. They don't trust it, which I can't blame them, given what's going on.
Right.
But they don't trust the stock market, or they're uncomfortable with it, and they want to invest in what they know. They want to find an asset that makes sense to them. Real estate is the most common asset that we see because it's most applicable to the most amount of people. I mean, you live in a house. I mean, most people live in a house, a condo, a house. They live in something. So they understand real estate at a very basic level. So if they don't know any other asset at all, then they'll know real estate to a basic extent. So that's, in my estimation, why it's one of the more common assets. There are other reasons, but it doesn't have to be real estate. You know, we've invested in a whole host of things. We've had clients investing in payday and title loans, in horses, tax liens, raw land, farmland, private company stock, franchises, oil and gas rights, movie and film tax credits. I mean, I could go on for hours. There's just so many different things that people have done, and they're all really interesting. And we don't have a preference. We're agnostic when it comes to investments. I don't care if it's a stock, bond, or mutual fund, or a horse, or real estate. If it's a good investment, it's a good investment. That's what I'm looking for. So when it comes to that, we really kind of help people on both avenues.
Yeah, well, that's something you'd really be looking for in your wealth advisor, somebody who is agnostic and not looking to place you into, you know, some type of fund or, you know, index or something like that. Now, Kirk, why would one invest in or through their Roth IRA? What are the advantages and maybe what are some disadvantages to doing so?
So it's a really interesting question. The traditional IRA was the original one that was created. And then the Roth IRA was created, I think, about 20 years after. And the traditional IRA is just like most 401k plans. You put in your money, the money's deducted from your income, it grows tax deferred. When you take it out, you pay taxes on it. Roth IRA is a little different. It's not pre-tax, it's after-tax money that you invest, but it'll grow tax-free. So people love the idea of the Roth because they're thinking, wow, I can grow all this tax-free. But when you do the math, this is the interesting thing. There are really, really bright people in the financial industry that don't understand this basic concept that the Roth IRA and the traditional IRA, you will get the same end result. I know it's shocking.
Interesting.
You will actually get the same result if you put the same investment into both entities and you have the same tax rate before and after. So, you know, the tax rate can't change for this example. Because if it does change, which obviously most likely it will in the next few days, if it does change, it does change the numbers. But if you can do this on your own on Excel spreadsheet and do the math. So what happens is that if you're putting in, let's say, $10,000 into an IRA, for sake of example, and that's pre-tax, you're not paying tax on it. And then it grows to $100,000, you pay the taxes on the $100,000. With a Roth, you're not putting in $10,000 because you already paid the tax on that money. So you're really putting in, let's call it $7,000.
Sure.
And that $7,000 grows to, it won't grow to $100,000, it'll grow to $70,000. So the numbers end up being the same. However, if you are finding investments that are yielding a much higher return, it's obviously better to put it into a Roth because you're not going to end up paying the taxes at the end of the day. So if somebody were to invest in like a Bitcoin or Ethereum or some cryptocurrency that's going crazy every day. I mean, I had a client tell me, he looked at Bitcoin chart and he said, it looks like a Richter scale. it's crazy. I think that the reality is the IRA in general is one of the better legislative things that have been passed, because what it does is it allows people to invest in their retirement in a tax beneficial way, whether it's tax deferred or tax free. The advantages are that you're allowing your money to compound without taxes being taken out every year. And as real estate investors know, one of the great advantages of real estate is the tax benefits. There are a lot of tax benefits to investing in real estate over, let's say, a large cap stock. There's some great tax benefits in that.
Certainly so.
And on top of that, you've got the use of leverage and other beneficial reasons. You know, your listeners obviously will know this, so I don't have to explain it to them, but
right.
There's some great benefits to real estate, and IRAs are similar. There's a great advantage to not having to pay taxes every single year. And if anybody's listened to Warren Buffett, he'll say the same thing, you know, with his company. You know, he doesn't pay dividends because he uses the cash and he uses it in a tax preferential way. By the way, insurance companies, the biggest hidden secret that people don't know about when it comes to investments. If you look at any investment, especially real estate, you have to borrow money. And you borrow money it costs you money to borrow money, right?
Yes, right.
So you go get a mortgage, cost you, let's say, 5-7%, whatever it is. You have to pay money for that leverage. Insurance companies are the only company in the world that have a positive leverage. So effectively what they do is they get money, which is basically premiums. So you pay your insurance, you're paying premiums to them, and they sit on that money and they invest that money. And when they have to pay out a claim, then they pay it out. So they don't have to borrow money. People give them money for free. Then they invest that and they make money on that money. It's the only business in the world that does this. And it's magical how this thing works. And so few people really understand this concept. But if you want to know how Warren Buffett got really wealthy, that's how he got wealthy, is borrowing other people's money and getting paid to do so.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, Warren Buffett actually owns at least a large stake in Geico. So there's that.
One of many insurance companies he has. He has multiple.
Yeah, right. Well, Kirk, you brought up a good point a minute ago I'd like to circle back and touch on, and that is maybe one of the advantages of real estate, well, certainly one of the advantages of real estate is leverage. Is it possible to still use leverage while investing in either self-directed IRA or a traditional IRA?
That is a great question and one that so few people understand. I'll say this, and I'll try not to take us down a rabbit hole with this question.
Okay.
It's possible. It's a complex area. So what happens within an IRA, you invest your money in an IRA, you don't pay taxes on it. Generally speaking, people are shocked to hear that there are investments where you can actually have to pay tax on investments inside of an IRA. So this happens to be one of those times. So if you invest in real estate, just all cash, no mortgage, you most likely won't have to pay taxes on that. Now, what the IRS has done, and if you have a brokerage account at a broker dealer, you will notice in certain investments, they will say they cannot be done inside of an IRA because they don't allow leverage. Well, that's actually not true. Leverage is not the issue. The issue is there's tax implications potentially. So look at it this way. Let's say you want to buy a property for $100,000. You know, you put down 20%. So you put down $20,000.
Right.
And then you get a mortgage for $80,000. Right. So your equity is $20,000. That equity is not taxable. The $80,000 that you leverage from someone else, that is taxable. So when you're buying real estate in your IRA and you get a mortgage, then effectively you're using a little money to command a bigger property.
Right.
Well, the IRS doesn't want that to take place, and they certainly don't want people to lose all their money. But more importantly, they're taxing what is not in that IRA, and that $80,000 is not in there. That's how they perceive it. So basically, 80% of your investment will have tax consequences. Now, you might look at that and say, well, why would I ever do that? Well, here's why you would consider it. A, you're investing in real estate, which is an asset hopefully you know well, and hopefully you're making good investments. But look at it this way. Your IRA would have to file a tax return, which is kind of a pain in the butt. But at the same point, you're also getting the same deductions. So you're not losing those. You still have expenses. You still have depreciation and all that stuff. You have all those benefits. It just so happens that at the end of that calculation of the income and expenses, that you have to pay taxes on the income or appreciation or all that of that levered part. But you're still investing in a good property. And if you have to pay a little tax on money that wasn't yours to begin with, then it's not such a bad deal. You can't make it a broad statement and say it's a yes or no thing. You really have to run the numbers and say, would I rather do this inside or outside my IRA? And the second part of it is some people, if you have real estate investors listening to this, they're all going to appreciate this comment, but every real estate investor I've ever met, they will squeeze every nickel out and put every penny that they make back into real estate.
Yes, right.
That is king. That is the holy grail for investing. I understand it inside and out. I get it. Most real estate investors are asset rich and cash poor.
Yes.
So let's say you find a good deal and you don't have any capital available. Hopefully you have an IRA or 401k that you can use to invest in properties, because why would you let a deal go if you don't have to? So many real estate investors say, well, I can either let this deal go or I can invest inside my retirement account. So there's many ways to look at it, but I think the important concept to pass along is that real estate investors can use their retirement accounts to invest in real estate. I came across many investors, and these guys are very well-heeled and successful, and they're worth probably eight figures, right? They're very wealthy, but they don't own a retirement account. And their single reason is that they don't want to put money into a retirement account to put into mutual funds when they can put that money into real estate. I understand. I get it.
Right.
Why would you invest in something you don't know? But what they didn't, most of them don't realize is that they actually can invest in what they know inside their retirement account and still get a lot of the same benefits. But most of them have not been educated. I think there's no more than 10% of the public is even aware of that you can invest in alternatives inside your retirement account. Most people just think, oh, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. That's what, you know, that's what my Fidelity or TD or Schwab person told me.
Yeah, it almost just seems like an extension of your typical 401k plan, just, you know, you're doing it on your own. So probably a large misconception there, Kirk, right?
Yeah, and actually inside of a 401k, some of the ways that people typically have to pay tax, sometimes in a 401k you don't. So there are some differences between an IRA and 401k in that way. But like I said, I don't want to get caught down the rabbit hole, but there are some benefits to 401ks over IRAs.
Yeah. Well, understanding that the implications of leverage and what that has investing in your IRA is certainly an important thing to understand going into it. And it provides value to sit down with, you know, a wealth manager like yourself, Kirk, and understand those things before you do it. And it looks like, it sounds like it's just another avenue for investors to use to invest in these alternative asset classes. So really good stuff. Well, Kirk, one might be asking themselves, are alternative investments right for me? You know, I'm comfortable in my 401k, you know, with my ups and downs, 6-8% return. What are some advantages to investing in an alternative investment through retirement account?
So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we don't look at investments as one is better than the other. We look at them independently and say, is this a good investment? But I will say this, that there are some really great alternative investments out there. Some of my favorite asset classes do fall into the alternative category. And before I get into that, I do want to define the term alternative investment, because it is misused by a lot of people on Wall Street.
Yeah, sure. Say, please do.
Yeah. So they'll say, oh, we have this mutual fund that invests in alternatives. Well, they're not really alternatives. They're traditional investments, stock market investments that happen to be invested in an alternative way. So for instance, they're buying some stocks and shorting some stocks, or they're investing in something that's off the radar, or they have a different strategy. They call those liquid alts. They're liquid. You can buy and sell them in any day or multiple times a day. I don't consider, or manage futures or things like that, I don't consider those alternative. If it's traded on an exchange and you can buy it with a click of a button, I don't really look at that as alternatives. What I look at alternatives are things that are not securities. They're traded outside the stock market. Things like real estate, tax liens, private company stock, horses, livestock. I could go on for hours on all the different investments.
Right.
But what's important to realize is that how we characterize them is different from other people, and there's no real defined term. So keeping that in mind, one of my favorite alternatives that I have ever found are tax liens. And if you'll indulge me, I'll briefly describe them.
Please.
Because I think they are a phenomenal investment if you find the right one. So, you know, real estate investors on this podcast will know real estate. They understand mortgages. And we actually do a lot with private mortgages because I find it to be a good asset class as well. But the thing about tax liens is, I'll briefly describe them. What they are is, let's just say Florida is a great example. So a lot of people live in Florida. Some of them have homes up north. So they're snowbirds, as they call them. And what they'll do is they'll have a property in Florida. Well, they owe taxes, but maybe they're up north and they don't get their tax bill, or they forget to pay it, or, you know, something along those lines. So what'll happen is sometimes people don't have money to pay, so they don't pay their taxes. Well, the state of Florida needs money to run their government, and their government is run by taxes, especially the municipalities. They need real estate taxes to fund their operations. So Florida, there are a lot of people who don't pay their taxes. Well, if they don't get enough of that money, they can't run their government. Traditionally, what's happened, every state allows this, but if you don't pay your real estate taxes, you pay a penalty. Some states it's 9%, some states it's 20%, 18%. I mean, they all vary in many ways, but what happens is some states, like I live in the state of Massachusetts, they don't sell their liens. They keep them and they make their, I think it's 16% or something like that. So they're not really, while they can be available in Massachusetts, they're traditionally not. In the state of Florida, there are so many out there that what they'll do is they'll say, we would love to get our 18%, but we can't afford to not pay our employees. So what they'll do is they'll have an auction, and they'll auction off all of these tax liens. So if I don't pay my property tax, they put a lien on my house, and I owe, let's say, $100. I have to pay 18% on that annually. Well, the municipality that I live in, they need that $100, so they're going to sell it to an investor. So the investor will buy that lien, and they will get their 18% a year. And at some point in time down the road, they can decide to foreclose on the house. But most likely, I'm going to find a way to pay that back. So what happens is, as an investor, I go out and I find properties that have liens on them, and I buy those liens from the municipality, and I get my 18%. Now, the best part about this is most of these properties have mortgages, right? And if you're not paying your taxes, maybe it's a mistake, but maybe you're not paying your mortgage. So you think, well, how am I going to get my money back? Well, this is the best part. Tax liens have a superior position to any mortgage. No matter when it's put on, you could have a tax lien and put on a mortgage tomorrow and it would still have a superior position. Or I'm sorry, the reverse. You could have a mortgage and then have a lien after, it would still take a superior position. So you get paid first. And what happens is, let's just say you have a lien for 2 or 3 years. You decide, I want my money back. I want to get paid off. I'm worried this homeowner is not going to pay. What you do is you say, all right, I'm going to foreclose. And you contact the bank. The bank, of course, is not going to let their $100,000 mortgage go for $100. So they'll pay you off. And then they'll foreclose, or they'll do whatever they're going to do. But as an investor, all you care about is getting your principal and interest back. So as a superior position holder, all you have to do is contact the people below you, the subordinates, and just say, I'm foreclosing. And you give them the chance to pay you off, and then they own that lien. So for you, you get paid. I believe around a 5% chance, based on some other data I'd got from somebody, that you would actually foreclose and end up owning that home for the $100. And a lot of these liens are really small numbers. You know, the house is worth $100,000. It's like a $200 lien or something. So it doesn't end up usually being a big chunk of the equity. But occasionally, you can foreclose and own a home for pennies on the dollar. And every state has different laws around this, but it's by far and away one of the better returns for the risk you're taking. One of the problems that we've come across in this inflated global economy is there's so much money that it's flooding into areas like this, and the yields are actually declining quite a bit than what they used to be. So what used to be 18, sometimes it's, you know, 5% or less, because people are, during the auction, they auction down the yield in some states. So it starts at 18, it may end up at 25 basis points. But there are thousands and thousands of these liens, so you could go and find ones you like. And it's a really interesting asset class, and it's a lot of these auctions are online, so you don't even have to go to the state. You can just go online and bid. So it's a really fascinating asset class that still very few people know, but one of my favorites by far.
Yeah, certainly so, Kirk. And it's times like these that I'm reminded of how many different ways there are to invest in real estate, whether that's, you know, through buy and hold investments, flipping properties, tax liens, you know, paper notes, things like that. So with all of these things out there, somebody might be feeling a little overwhelmed and thinking, well, they really need the help of someone like you. So, Kirk, what are some things one should be looking for when they're looking for, you know, maybe that right custodian to help them manage their investment portfolio?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think this is an area that a lot of people don't put enough research into. So we as a firm work with a lot of different custodians, and we've done extensive due diligence on all 46 that are out there that work with self-directed IRAs and alternatives. And I think when most people are trying to find a custodian, they treat it like a discount broker, like a Schwab, Fidelity, TD, E-Trade, Scottrade, like all these companies. They're very similar. You're not getting much different. People pick it in many cases because the cost of the trade, but more or less you're getting a similar product. So they don't put a lot of effort into finding a good one. They just say, this is good enough. And in many cases, they're right. When it comes to self-directed IRA custodians, they're different. They're not all the same. They're all different in many ways, whether it's the fees they charge, the assets that they'll hold. I mean, real estate is the most common, by far and away, the most common alternative investment held in self-directed IRAs. And yet there are custodians that will not hold real estate. So they're all different. Fees are different. And it really is very important for people to take the time to research the custodian that they're using. Because I've seen people use companies that are not actually custodians. They say they are, but they're not. And they haven't done the due diligence on the company to realize that, hey, I could be creating a prohibited transaction with my IRA, which could end up losing a lot of money in penalties and fees and interest and all that. So it's really important to make the right decision. And some of the decision is based around fees. Some of it's based around the assets, the service. There's a lot of important things to consider. And most people don't think about it because they just feel like, oh, well, this is going to be like investing in a discount broker. It's really easy. But the problem is when they do it and they find they're with the wrong one, they have to change. It's expensive to change. So it's really important that people do the research at the right time. And one of the things that we really focus on with clients is making sure that we're finding the right custodian for what they're trying to do. People can do it themselves, but most people don't have the experience to know what to look for. I mean, I see these forums out there and people ask, oh, what custodian should I use? Well, taking somebody else's opinion is not going to necessarily give you the right answer. They might have the most popular one, but that doesn't mean it's the right one for you. So we've created a ton of resources on our website. I mean, one of the reasons we've created these resources on our website is because there were no great resources out there. There are some resources that are good in one area, but not in another. So we decided these are some great questions that people are asking. Why don't we just put them online so people can go and research it themselves? And they want to use us because they just don't want to do it or don't understand it, or there are many reasons. We provide wealth management service to people who just want a hands-off approach. There are people that are do-it-yourselfers, and probably a lot of your listeners are do-it-yourselfers, you know, as most real estate investors are.
Right.
We have these resources where people can figure it out themselves. I would just warn people that the rules are the same for traditional and alternative investment IRAs. However, the application of the rules tends to be different. So many things you won't realize if you're investing in stocks, because most of it is hidden behind the scenes. You don't interact with it. But with real estate, you see it very visibly. I'll give you one really good example. So if you're buying real estate, typically you put in an offer, you sign the offer, and you give it to them with, let's say, a down payment of $1,000 or whatever it might be. Then you work through the P&S and you go through all that, and then you buy the property. If you sign the offer personally for real estate in your IRA, mm-hmm. you potentially could have just created a prohibited transaction for yourself because you personally signed for it. You cannot personally sign for anything if you're investing with your IRA. And that is a very simple but important point when dealing with this, is that there are a lot of little nuances and subtleties that people have to be aware of that if they've never done it before, they're going to miss. You know, we work with a lot of very experienced real estate investors that use us because they understand real estate, but they don't understand this side of it. And they don't want to. We're fiduciaries. So we have a very high standard of care for our clients. We have to put our clients' best interest ahead of our own. And you know, we do that anyway, but from a regulatory standpoint, we're required to. And that's really important that people are making sure that they're doing it the right way, because the implications of not doing it are quite severe.
Yeah, like you said, Kirk, there are lots of ins and outs and intricacies to investing in these alternative asset classes through your retirement accounts. So, you know, you've put out a lot of great information for people to learn more. Where can people find that information, Kirk?
So our website is innovativewealth.com. And we have, under our Managing Your Wealth section, we have a lot about self-directed IRAs and alternative investment. If anybody wants to learn more, there are, in my opinion, some of the best resources online for investors that are looking to do this. Of course, I'm biased, but you know, we put a lot of time and effort to make sure they're the best so people can judge that for themselves. But anything you would want, even if you wanted to know the tax code, we reference each one so that you can easily find that and check things for yourself.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for that, Kirk. That's innovativewealth.com, where our listeners can go over there and find those free resources. So we'll link that site in the show notes for our audience to find. Kirk, as we're wrapping up here, is there any parting piece of advice you'd like to leave with our audience?
Yeah, I think we'd love to offer some free resources to your listeners because, you know, in appreciation for inviting me on your show. So we have a free report which talks about some of the, I think we have a huge list of alternative investments that people could consider. And I know if you have a lot of real estate listeners to the show, they probably have a wide variety of interests, whether it's private mortgages or physical real estate or raw land or whatever it might be. There are a lot of opportunities that people can use. And I'll give you a quick parting interesting idea for self-directed IRAs.
Okay.
This is one that I find fascinating. So if you look at, say, like the S&P 500, let's say the average annual return over time varies based on when you're looking at it. But let's say it's 7 or 8%. Who wants to make 7 or 8% if you can make, you know, 100 or 200%? And I've seen people do some really interesting things with their retirement accounts. And I'll give you one example, which is relevant to real estate investors. So I met this guy a number of years ago at a real estate conference. And he was telling me what he was doing with his IRA. And I was like, that is phenomenal. And what he did is he was doing very simple things that any of your listeners could do, even the novice ones, is he was effectively bird dogging properties. But what he was doing essentially was flipping the contract. So he would go find a property. Let's say the house is worth $100. He would lock it up for $50,000. And then he would go sell that contract to somebody else for $60,000 or $70,000. And he would put down $1,000 to lock that up. So he was making 10 times his money. And if you think about it, you know, you can scale that with your money, but he was taking very little risk to lock up that property. And then he flipped it and he just made 10 times his money. Now, it's hard to do that if your retirement account is $1 million, but there are certainly, probably most of the listeners do not have $1 million IRA, but surprisingly there are, I'll give you another quick example before we go, but there are some great ways that you can be creative with your retirement account to really leverage your returns beyond the simple, you know, 8 or 10% you might get from annual appreciation. So if you look at the most visible, the largest, most visible IRA that's publicly known is Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney ran for president a few years ago. Mm-hmm. They went through his financial information. He had an IRA in excess of $100 million. You're probably thinking to yourself, holy crap, that's great.
Exactly.
I would love to have that. But the government did some research a few years ago, and they researched the largest IRAs. And I believe there are 314 IRAs in excess of $25 million. Take a wild guess at what the average balance of those 314 IRAs are.
Let's say 100 million.
Approximately 250 million.
Wow.
Average of those 314 people. So obviously there are many people who are in the 25 million range. Think of how many people have more. So I believe there's an IRA probably in excess of $1 billion from what I hear. There are probably multiple ones. And you think to yourself, how is that possible? And I can tell you that it's probably not from investing in stocks, unless you're really lucky or really good. Most likely, you can't know unless you know these things. And even if I did know, I wouldn't say it. But most likely, it's done through these kind of leverage type of transactions. It is allowed. It's perfectly legal. Obviously, you want to make sure everything is above board. But you can definitely do these things if you're creative. Now, you might not have a $1 billion IRA, but you can certainly have a larger IRA by using some creative approaches and applying them to what you're already doing as investors.
Yeah, well, that's certainly something to think about, Kirk. And there's so many things to talk about around alternative investments and investment strategies that we just can't get to all in one episode. So for those listeners that are looking to learn more about this, where can they connect with you, find more, learn more about all this stuff we've talked about today?
So you can find me at innovativewealth.com. That's my company website. I'm also very active on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and all that. So we're really easy to find there. But if you go to my website, there's a lot of resources there. If you want to contact us for personal investments or just have some questions, you could certainly contact us through the website. And I'll certainly provide Jacob the link to the free report as well, so you can at least get an introductory view of alternative investments inside of retirement accounts as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for that, Kirk. Well, Kirk, thanks for coming on the show today. We greatly appreciate your time and all the information you've shared with us.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on the show. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you. Take care, Kirk.
All right.
All right, that wraps up our interview today with Kirk Chisholm. Kirk has provided a ton of great resources and information about investing in alternative asset classes through retirement accounts. Now, there are many pros and cons to investing through a retirement account, and before you decide to do so, I would recommend you speak with your CPA and or a wealth advisor like Kirk. If you have any questions or comments about anything discussed in today's show, reach out to me or contact Kirk through innovativewealth.com. As always, if you have any questions or comments or want to hear something or someone specific on the show, reach out to me. You can contact me at www.jacobayers.com. Till next week, signing off, I'm your host, Jacob Ayers.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom podcast, providing you actionable content to build your real estate empire. Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for personal advice. The opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have a potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of the Real Estate Way to Wealth and Freedom, LLC, exclusively.